Welcome to the First Presbyterian Church of Berkeley. This is the complete recording of the 11:30 a.m. worship service.
Alpha and Omega, He the source, the ending, He. Of the things that are, that have been, and that future years shall see, evermore and ever. To thee with God the Father and Holy Ghost, to thee hymn and chant and high thanksgiving and unwearied praises be. Honor, glory, and dominion and eternal victory, evermore and evermore. Of the Father's love begotten, ere the worlds began to be, He is Alpha and Omega, the source, the ending, He. Of the things that are, that have been, and that future years shall see, evermore and evermore. Christ, to thee God the Father and O Holy Ghost, to thee hymn and chant and high thanksgiving and unwearied praises be. Honor, glory, and dominion and eternal victory, evermore and evermore. Of the Father's love begotten, ere the worlds began to be, He is Alpha and Omega, the source, the ending, He. Of the things that are, that have been, and that future years shall see, evermore and
morning and welcome to 11:30 service on this second Sunday of Advent. And as we begin our worship service together and people still coming in, I want to invite us to stand together as we begin, if you're able. And as we begin this worship service, I would love to offer us a word of prayer in preparation for what God has in store for us today. We pray together as a community and knowing that we are here by God's welcome for us to respond the great gospel and the hope and light in the darkness. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that we have this time and in this space to pause and to allow ourselves to be ready for worship, and that you move and breathe in our life, that we could come to this moment and seek after you, respond to your love, and in the message that we might hear from song, from preaching, from prayer, from unexpected moments, we pray that we would be authentic, we would be humble before you as we worship together, that we also honor your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing together.
What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to gain. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Yeah.
that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Pleasure to be able to come, call to come up front, introduce Larissa Kositz and her daughters, Lissandra, a.k.a. Sundance, and Cassidy, to present the lighting of the second Advent candle.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light.
Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined.
A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots.
And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. From Isaiah 9th chapter, verse 2, and chapter 11, verses 1 through 3.
Whose glory fills the skies, Christ the everlasting light, Son of righteousness, arise and triumph o'er the shades of night.
Let's sing that again.
Christ whose glory fills the skies, Christ the everlasting light, Son
So here we
wait in hope of you, with our souls longing through and through. Day spring from high be near, and day star in our hearts
of so here we wait.
So here we wait in hope of you, with our souls longing through and through. Day spring from on high be near, and day star in our hearts appear.
Let's stand together and sing the rest of this. Thank you for this time of worship. Continue to lead in us, speak to us as we notice one another in community as we continue. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Noticing one another in community means that we have a chance right now for a couple of minutes to greet one another, so let us do that.
Joy.
just rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee.
Well, welcome again to worship. We are so glad to be able to be together. We come at the invitation of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune God who invites us into worship together. And we're glad that we can be here to be able to hear from God's word, to be able to greet one another, and to enter into this holy space as we bring ourselves, our true selves, our full selves before God today. If you are new here, we hope that you sense our desire to serve God, to be those who are disciples of Jesus Christ and who love God's world and want to share that good news with the world as well. And so we're glad you're here. If you are new and would like us to know more about you, fill out one of those Connect cards that you'll see in the back of the pew. And if you aren't new but want to update any information or give us any feedback, feel free to write that on the card and put it in the offering plate as it's passed this morning. Again, if you are new, you can hold on to your card, take it to the, it's back there, the welcome cart, and you will receive a free lunch pass. And we invite you to come to our table. We call it the table, our lunch today on us. So welcome again to everyone here. There are lots of things going on, as you know. You can see that in your bulletin announcement. We encourage you to read through that at your leisure. This is not your leisure. Just read through it, and we'd love to have you know of the opportunities for service and study and fellowship that are connected, that can connect you with us here. There are, you see two boxes on the first side of that of the news and announcements. The first is the highlights. The second is the year-end giving. Let me first go to the highlights. This is the last day that you can support our mission partners in the gift giving. We call it Gift World. It's out on the pathway after church. You can make your contribution to any of the particular or all of the mission partners that we have through in this means. Also, then through Wednesday, the 11th, you'll be able to do that online. So we encourage you to do that today. This evening at 6 o'clock, we are having what we call Hanging of the Greens. As you can see, the greens have already been hung, so we're calling it Hanging of the Green. I don't know where it's going to be hung, so you can come and find out where the green is going to be hung this evening. But the most important thing is that all the choirs of the church are going to be singing. We're going to have a joyful time of singing and then celebration and refreshments following that. But 6 o'clock this evening, come join us for that festive event. And then on Christmas Eve, we have two services, 4 o'clock and 9 o'clock. The 4 o'clock, you can come as you are, or you can come as one of the people in the Christmas pageant, or one of the animals in the Christmas pageant, whatever your pleasure is. Everybody that wants to be involved in that pageant will be able to do so. And so we invite you to come, family, church family at 4 o'clock, everybody, family and church family at 9 o'clock if anybody is still awake. So come then, and we will celebrate with music and song, carols and scripture and so forth. So we invite you for those events. Today also, we want to commission our Thailand trip attendees or those who are going on the Thailand mission trip. So if they come forward, I'm going to ask Tim. Tim is leading this group, and he's going to just tell us in a nutshell. Yeah, just come right up here in front. In a nutshell, what they're doing.
Well, first I'm going to introduce you to the four people on the screen behind me. Pastor Ben, his wife T, and his sons, Power and Mighty. Our church has a more than a 15-year relationship with this family. Every time we go and build in Lampang, Thailand, we get to worship in Pastor Ben's church. This year, we get to do something very special. We get to build the house for this family. We will also visit three of the mission partners in Gift World, IJM, Free Burma Rangers, and New Life Center.
Okay, thank you. So this is the crew that's going. They still have a few weeks of preparation that they're making, but we want to commission them for this trip where they will partner with people there in Thailand and be able to minister effectively there. So let me first charge you. The call of Christ is to willing, dedicated discipleship. Our discipleship is a manifestation of the new life we enter through baptism. Discipleship is both a gift and a commitment, an offering and a responsibility. And we are called by God to be the Church of Christ, a sign in the world today of what God intends for all humankind. So that's your purpose in going, to be a visible demonstration of the kingdom of God in the world today. As such, let me ask you two questions. Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? Will you? Do you welcome the responsibility of this service because you are determined to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to love neighbors, and to work for the reconciling of the world? Do you?
We do.
Thank you. And I'm going to ask you all to stand if you're able and respond to the following question. Do you, members and friends of the church, confirm the call of God to our brothers and sisters here on the Thailand trip in service of Jesus Christ, and will you support and encourage them, and I would say pray for them in this ministry? Will you?
Yeah.
Thank you. You may be seated. And I'm going to pray. If you'll pray with me, let's pray. I'll end the prayer with the Lord's Prayer, and so let's pray together. Our dear Lord God, day by day, we and the people we care for live in the balance between hope and despair, between certainty and questioning, between joy and sorrow. And on any given day, the scales can tip in either direction. In this mixture, we need you, we need one another, and we need our best selves to surface and to express themselves guided by the power of your Spirit. We know our imperfections. Show us again your perfect love, your mercy, your kindness, and enable us to see your light when all seems dim or dark. Enable us to feel your love when all around us we see brokenness and pain. Touch us with healing when illness and distress fill our lives. And so we pray that these on this team, as well as those of us who remain here, will be able to speak into the perfection of your love and mercy and grace and faithfulness. Our concern is not only for ourselves. Our concern is for your world. And we are so thankful for people around the world that are lifting up the gospel of Jesus Christ that will enable people to move into the fullness of your love. We're thankful for this team that will partner with others and build a home for Ben and his family. We give you thanks that they have been willingly, that they willingly put themselves in this service, in this ministry, and we pray your blessing on them. We pray your safety for them. We pray your guidance to them. Make their way clear and safe. Let their travels bring them a greater vision of what your love can do in the world today. And as they return to us, help them to challenge us to see your world in new ways and to serve you more creatively and more completely. And so, Lord God, we come today admitting our need of you. Our church needs you, our country needs you, and our world needs you. And we confess our need for you in every aspect of our life. And so enable us, this prayer that we pray called the Lord's Prayer, enable us to let that have its way in us again. Let us be able to live that out in a way that will honor you. And we do pray that you would do this by your Spirit. Lead and guide us in our discipleship of Christ. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And let me just say a word about the other box that is in your bulletin announcements. The one in, is it red? We still have a bit of work to do to finish the year off well, at 1.2 million. As my dad would say, that's more than I have on me. And we want to be able to see the ministry of the church continue to grow and expand and bring the love of Christ that we know through the gospel into our world. So we ask that we think about what God has given to us, and we give generously for this particular event of ministry in our world, in our church, and we pray that you give now as the ushers come forward.
Spotless rose is glowing strong from a tender root. A spotless Well, that was amazing. I just have to say it again, our music ministry here is so amazing. It just really feeds our soul, doesn't it? So thank you. So we are now in the second week of Advent, this great season of the church. And we have entitled our sermon series, Audacious Hope, which is a good Advent theme because in Advent, it is a season of hope and a season of waiting. You know, there are three kind of elements to Advent. One, we look back to the Advent of Christ when he was born. And secondly, we also hope for Christ meeting us here in our daily lives again and again and again. And then the third part of Advent that we sometimes forget is Advent also symbolizes us waiting for Christ to return and to make all things new. You know, that as we think about hope, we are always, as people of faith, have to look to the future. We look through the lens of eternity when we think about Christian hope, because one day every tear will be wiped away and all things will be made new. So we come to the second week today. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 1, the story of Mary. She is definitely a person of hope. So let me read now, Luke 1, 26 through 45. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor." That is also the same root as grace, favor with God. "And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am still a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." God, we pray that you would speak to us a clear word today, a clear word of hope. God, I pray especially for anyone here this morning who really needs to hear about hope, who is perhaps in despair and can't see any way out of the situation they're in. Lord, I pray especially that your word would be clear to them, that they could see that with you all things are possible. So speak to us now through the power of your Holy Spirit, and in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, in seminary, we have preaching classes. We learn how to preach. And boy, I tell you, some of those sermons given in preaching classes were pretty ugly. Right, Tom? It's a hard thing to learn how to do, believe it or not. And I remember one particular class where a student gave a sermon. And of course, after the sermon, the class critiques the sermon as well as the professor. And this student gave a sermon, and oh boy, he sat down. There was silence, and then the professor just let loose and really dressed him down. And here's what he said, and I always remember it. He said, "I did not hear a word of hope in that entire sermon. I didn't hear a word of hope." And every Sunday, you got to realize that there will be people in your congregation who will be right on the cusp of despair, who desperately need a word of hope, that God is with them, that God loves them. Boy, that's true, isn't it? And he said, and there are a lot of other people in there that are not too far behind, that they need hope. We all need hope, don't we? We all need it. Hope is like air. We can't survive without it. Dostoevsky said, you know, without hope, life ceases. And I believe that to be true. Perhaps you have come to worship one time or another, and you just drag yourself here with barely any hope, and maybe more than once. I have always taken that word in. And I try every Sunday to give at least a word of hope because we need it. That's why we're doing this series, because we need hope. And I think in this particular time in history in our country, you know, I've been around a while, I think maybe more than ever we need hope. Do you feel that? There's a decline of hope. I was reading in the Washington Post this week, there was an article, here's the title, "There's Something Terribly Wrong." And it talked about the death rate among Americans from 25 to 64, it's jumping, and the highest jump is among those aged 25 to 34. It said people are feeling worse about themselves and their futures, that's leading them to do things that are self-destructive and not promoting health, things like drug addiction, and other things. Princeton study that was part of this article said, among middle-aged whites, there is a sea of despair for those who have a high school degree or less. On top of that, I feel like our country is divided like I've never seen it before. And it's discouraging. There's this feeling of helplessness, like our government isn't working. It's not doing what it's supposed to do. And what should be important, do you feel this way? What should be important isn't important. And what should be important isn't being given attention. Do you ever feel that way? Give me a little feedback. Yeah. And so I think as a country, as a people, seems like we just need hope, don't we? And as people of faith, I think we're called to hope. I often say that the church should be a dispenser of hope. Amen. People should come, they should see us. And in the midst of this despair, we should be people of hope, and not just regular hope, but audacious hope. I love this word. You know, it means showing a willingness to take surprisingly bold risks. Bold, daring, fearless, intrepid. Those are good words, aren't they? Unafraid. How do we remain people of hope when life is tough? Because life beats us up, doesn't it? All of us, our hopes are dashed, our dreams are shattered. dreams are shattered, relationships broken. It's tough. How do we remain people of hope, especially in those times when it seems so tough? Well, I think this story from Mary gives us some clues, because Mary, boy, she was a person of audacious hope, was she not? Bold. Remember, she's a 13 to 16-year-old girl, probably. And yet she's bold, she's fearless, brave, unafraid. She's a person of audacious hope. And you know what? It could have been very different. Because she's in a difficult space, is she not? She's in a very confusing, very unsettling moment in her life. In our scripture today, we see that her life, really, think about this, it just got turned totally upside down, did it not? I mean, here she is. She's just kind of living her life, this simple life in a know-nothing town, very simple life, betrothed, which is different than really our engagement, to be married to a young carpenter named Joseph, perhaps really excited about being married soon, looking forward to her life with Joseph, of starting a family, whatever it may be. And all of that is interrupted by this strange visit from the angel Gabriel. He calls her a favored one and says, "The Lord is with you." And the scriptures tells us she was perplexed and pondered in her heart, what in the world does this mean? What is happening to me? And Gabriel says, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God," or grace with God. And now the big news, the news that would turn her life upside down, you will bear a son, the Messiah. Now, every Jewish child would know about the Messiah. But me? Bearing the Messiah? That's pretty shocking. And it's a great honor, honestly, but pretty unsettling, pretty disruptive. And to add to the confusion, she says, "But how could this be? I have never been with a man." Confused, scared to death, perhaps, because she knows in the eyes of Jewish law, any woman who is pregnant out of wedlock was considered an adulteress. And she was probably thinking, how is Joseph going to react to this? He'll never believe this story. And she is betrothed to him, which is a legal contract. To get out of it, you had to begin divorce proceedings. And legally, he could abandon her. He could break off the engagement. She didn't know what could be ahead. But this she did know. If he abandons her, she will be ostracized by her community, ridiculed and shamed, probably not a lot of baby showers. And also she knew the Jewish law. Any woman or man who committed adultery was to be stoned. That's a pretty tough situation. Every reason not to have hope. But she does. In the midst of this very difficult, confusing, unsettling time, she has hope. Her decision is a statement of hope. She says, "Here I am, a servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." Now, I see two things in which Mary's hope is grounded. The first one is this. It is grounded in her humility. Mary knows that her only hope is God, God alone. And she completely surrenders to God. This is humility. A servant, actually the word is bond slave. I am not my own. I am owned by someone else. I am owned by God. It shows humility. She realizes that she does not own herself. She belongs to someone else. It's a sign of complete surrender. And this shows great humility before God. You know, as people of faith, I believe that our hope is grounded in humility. We have to be humble to have faith in God, because what we say when we have faith in God is we don't have faith in ourselves, in our own strength. And really, one of the best things that can happen to us is to be stripped of all the illusions that we will get ourselves out of these predicaments. Our hope is in God. I love how one author, Brian Wilkerson, who is also a pastor, he says, you know what? Our hope is a who. Isn't that good? Our hope is a who. It's a person. God is our hope. And so often, I mean, I think part of the problem in our country is misplaced hope. Don't you think? You know, I believe in trying to change things. And I believe in that government can do things. But let me tell you, the government is not my hope. Politicians are not my hope. God is my hope. That God can work through these institutions. But boy, I tell you, I've been around long enough. Politicians, they'll break your heart. Right? God is our hope. And so often we look to other things, to our own strength, to jobs, to finances, to our own smarts, our own strength as a country for hope. It's not our hope. Our hope is a who. Our hope is in a person. You know, when I went through a really difficult time in my life, you know, I'm a pretty positive, pretty optimistic person. But I tell you, I went through a time where I got to the point on the edge of despair. I thought, there's no hope. That's a scary place to be. So this is a real message for me. During that time, man, the Psalms became just, they fed my soul, right? They just, like, became part of me. And one of them that was so important to me was Psalm 33, part of it. Let me read it to you. It talks about how our hope is not in other things, but in God, and specifically in the love of God. It says, a king is not saved by his great army. The war horse, this strong, big animal, is a vain hope for victory. And by his great might, he cannot save. Truly, the eyes of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his steadfast love. And there is our hope right there. This hesed that we looked at a few weeks ago, this unconditional love that is constant, never wavers, is always with us. On his steadfast love to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord, and waiting is also a very important part of hope. He is our help and shield. Our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. And then it ends with this, let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. You know, in that time when I went through these difficult, just a series of things, it got me down to the bare root. If there is no loving God, I think there's no hope. And I remember coming to that conclusion. But if there is a loving God, a God who walks with us, who never leaves us, who will strengthen us, who will be with us, who will encourage us, we can have hope. Is that not true? Our hope is a who. Second reason I see for Mary's hope is Mary's hope for the future is grounded in God's faithfulness in the past. Let me say that again. Mary's hope for the future is grounded in God's faithfulness in the past. Right after this passage of Scripture, we have the Magnificat, this great song of Mary. And this is what she says. She says, my soul magnifies. This is a song of hope. My song, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servants. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Do you see how God-centric this is? His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. Interesting song. One of the most famous songs in history. And you know what's interesting about it? A number of things. It's a song about the future. Mary is looking to the future of what God is going to do through her son, the Messiah. God has broken into the world in a new way, with the birth of Christ. Song about the future, but you know what? It is influenced by what God has done in the past. There are 15 at least references from the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, in this song. So Mary, and I think this is important, she knows the story of her people. She knows how God has been faithful in the past, how he has rescued his people time and time and time again, how he has been faithful to his promises time and time and time again. I get the sense that Mary, even at this young age, knows the scriptures so well that they're a part of her. She's internalized them. They're part of her story. They are her story. She knows that God has been faithful in the past. And she sings about the future. And you know what? It's revolutionary. So revolutionary that this song was banned in Guatemala in the 1980s during the Civil War because it was thought to be politically subversive. God is going to do a great thing. Song of hope. Wow, confident hope, audacious hope. God will break in a new way. He plans to redeem the world. Scholar Scott McKnight writes that this song was for Mary's world what "We Shall Overcome" was to the African-American community during the civil rights in this country in the 60s and 70s. God is going to turn things upside down, and Mary is confident of this. So confident, did you notice? It's a song about the future, but all the verbs are past tense, as though it has already happened. She is so confident that she uses past tense verbs. It's already done. And see, this is a great insight about hope. Hope is a desire with the expectation of fulfillment. Hope is the desire. We have this desire, and you know what? We expect that it will be fulfilled. It is not just wishful thinking. Hope has this element of confidence in it. It is certain in some ways that God will do something good, that the who of our hope will do something good in this life and in the life to come. It's always looked through an eternal lens. And where does this confidence come from? At least in part, it comes from looking to the past. Our hope for the future, folks, is grounded in God's faithfulness in the past, in the biblical story and in our stories. You know, I think for us, boy, you want to be a person of hope? Internalize the story. Let it be part of who you are. Know it so well. But you know what else we can do? We can look to our own stories and remember how God has been faithful in the past, how God has taken all the broken pieces of our lives sometimes and put them back together. We need to remember how God may not have given us exactly what we hoped for, but he gave us what we need. We need to remember how God can bring good out of a seemingly hopeless situation. You know, as far as I can tell, there are not a ton of advantages to getting older. It's funny today, funny story. I had a couple come up to me after the first service, and they said, you know, we've been listening online for 2 years to your sermons, and this is our first time here. But we feel like we know you. And then she said, you know, something funny about this is I thought you'd have less hair. She said, I thought, you know, someone as wise as you and the things that you are saying would be a person with less hair or at least gray hair. And I think that's the advantage of getting older. You know, I've walked with Christ for 50 years. We've been through a lot together. And I think one of the advantages of getting older is you have this reservoir of experiences. And maybe I have more because I've made so many stupid mistakes and have given God a lot of opportunities to put my life back together. But it's true. You look back at those times where you think there's no hope, and just a little bit of thought, a little bit of prayer, a little bit of reflection, and you can see how God has been faithful time and time and time again. That just at the point where you needed someone, God has put the right person in your life or provided what I needed when I needed it. Maybe not what I wanted, but what I needed. And you know, this too shall pass. And God has been faithful in the past, and God will be faithful in the future. You know, it's one of the great things about being in an intergenerational church. First service, I looked out, all these gray heads. Not that a gray head makes you old, but... And they were shaking their heads. People who have walked with Christ for 40, 50, 60, sometimes 70 years, 80. It's a lot of experience. A lot of opportunities for God to show his faithfulness, that God is powerful and faithful. My dear brothers and sisters of First Press, have hope. Have hope, because the who of your hope is strong enough and wise enough and good enough and loving enough to give you a future. In fact, the who of your hope humbled himself, became one of us, actually became a servant and died for us and defeated sin and death and lives for us. Friends, can we have hope?
Yes.
Yes, we can. So have hope. Amen.
Amen.
God, thank you for this hope that we have in you. That when everything seems dark and we can't see a way out and we get discouraged by events and people and heartache and all the rest, that you are good enough and strong enough and wise enough and loving enough to give us a future. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand, if you're able, together and sing in response.
Be
still my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change he faithful will remain. Be still my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still my soul.
Want to invite you to the table, our meal over in the gym over there. Love to have you there and have some fellowship with you, especially those of you who are new. If it's your first time, it's a free lunch, so go over there. If you'd like prayer, there's a person right over there who would love to pray with you or for you this morning. Remember as you go that our hope is a who. And our who is capable and loving and powerful and good. So as you go, remember that, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us, both now and forever. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a great week, but if you're coming tonight, you can see the hanging of the green. So come, 6 o'clock.